Well, good afternoon, brethren. Before I get started, I want to thank everybody here earnestly for all the prayers you had for me, for the cards I had, the phone calls I got. It's been 5 weeks and 2 days since I had my hip replacement surgery, and I'm doing really, really well. My pain's gone for the most part, and I'm hobbling along. I'm getting there, but thank you so much for all your prayers. I appreciate it. Now, my surgery was scheduled for 12:15. So me and Beth got there, or they said it would be there by 12:15. So me and Beth got to Modesto Hospital, because you know me, I have to be early, at 11:30. Before I even got myself seated, barely just sat down, Robert, they called me in. So he took me back to room 24. It's a bigger hospital than I'm used to. And they got the curtains and all that, so they had me take my clothes off. They had, you know, put my gown on, and then they put IVs in me and shaved the area on my hip where they're going to whittle on me. And I didn't have a cell phone, of course. Had to leave that there. I didn't have a wedding ring. I didn't have my watch, especially not having my watch. So I'm laying there, and I figured, well, Beth will be coming back here pretty soon. And I'm laying there. So I just started thinking about some things I need to be thinking about concerning my way of life and the church and all that. And I was doing pretty heavy thinking there because there's nothing to do, no TV. About every maybe 15, 20 minutes, somebody come by and see if I'm still alive or not, basically look in there. So I finally said, the guy came in and he goes, how you doing? I go, I'm fine. I said, what time is it, by the way? He goes, oh, it's 12:50. So I didn't say anything, so I just laid back down. I was doing some heavy thinking and kind of reflecting on things. And then I go, it's been a long time again. Beth's not in here. I don't know what's going on. So the guy comes back later again. And he goes, has an anesthesiologist been here? I go, no. Has a doctor been here? I go, no. He goes, I said, but by the way, what time is it? He goes, oh, it's 1:45. I go, I said, okay. So at 2 o'clock, I guess it was, they said, the doctor comes, sees me, tells me that he's going to add an inch and a half to my leg, my leg down. I was shorter, and he marked the X where he's going to cut into me. Said, after this, your pain will be all gone and what you had before, but you'll have some surgical pain for a while. And he left. The anesthesiologist came in and goes, oh, you look okay. He left. So I'm going, when is my surgery? And he goes, oh, 2:15. So Beth's out there in the waiting room, and she finally, I think, went up and asked the nurse, his name's not moving. She goes, well, no, he's past 2:15 surgery. So I've been in there for 2.5 hours almost, and they wheeled me in. But getting back to what I was thinking about, I was thinking about my temper, because I heard that from my mom. I'm getting angry, and I can get angry pretty easily. I try to really work at it. I have for many years. But since I have my leg was hurting so bad for the last 2 years, I mean, excruciating pain, really, I just work through it at the hall, moving tables and chairs and all that. And I use it for an excuse to be angry, I guess, at any little thing, because my leg was hurting so bad. But I don't think God takes that excuse. Okay, so I was thinking this in my head. My wife did tell me, for the last year and a half, 2 years, you've been angry. So I try to listen to her, but it's hard sometimes. But I really thought about that, and I thought about how by getting angry, I let Satan in. When Satan gets in, I sin. So I said, my leg's going to be well, which it is, and there's no more pain. I have no excuse at all. So that's what my goal was, to work on that. So this sermonette is entitled, and this is for me, but if you guys get something out of it, I'll be glad. I'm talking to myself here. This sermonette is titled Anger Management. And I had to really think, and one thing I forgot to say, when I was thinking about how I get angry so easy, I even thought, and it's going to be hard to believe, I think a couple times I got angry at Mr. Reschner. That's hard to believe, I know, but I think I may have, so I need to get this. But anyway, anger management. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Ephesians 26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Bible verses are just full of wisdom and good advice. But controlling anger is almost always easier said than done. When angered, we usually want to strike back, turning the other cheek. It's the last thing we really want to do, and it's on our mind. Over the years, my religion, my character, my honesty has been often tested publicly and assaulted. Unfortunately, I was always quick to think of ways to strike back. I want to cause damage to the individual who was doing the assaulting to me. However, when I take time and think about it to share my burden with God in prayer, my anger begins to disappear. I realize that striking back would do absolutely no good. Now let's turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 21. Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is another Bible verse that makes a lot of sense. But oh boy, it's easier said than done, isn't it? It does provide a very good way to deal with our feelings of anger. We need to ask God to help us in our anger. We need to pray for the one we are angry with. Finally, we need to look and pray for ways to demonstrate goodwill towards a person or persons who have angered us. If you can't do this, you can't control your anger. If you can't control your anger, then you will be controlled by your anger. You know, Satan looks for the weaknesses and can jump right in when you are angry, which means you are losing control, which leads to sin every time. God is using today's difficulties to strengthen us for tomorrow. We need to be patient and not be angry. Choose not to be angry. We need to keep our hearts right, our minds sharp, live by God's laws, always making the choice to do what's right whatever comes down our path. In Proverbs 29:22, you don't need to turn there, it says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Sometimes when anger shows up at our door, we say, come on in. We let him right in, and Satan comes right with him, jumps right in with him every single time to get to our hearts and control our attitude, which causes us to sin. Anger creates a really bad attitude. And you can relate a bad attitude, I think, to like a flat tire. You can't go far unless you fix it. Brethren, God is angry at evil. He's angry at evil. Man doesn't understand God's anger because they confuse the wrath of God with the wrath of man. Human anger is typically self-driven and prone to explosive or temper and violent deeds. We get ticked off because we have been overlooked for something. We had a bad day. We've been neglected. We've been cheated or disrespected. This is the anger of man. It is not, however, the anger of God. God doesn't get angry because he doesn't get his way. He gets angry because disobedience always results in self-destruction. What kind of father sits by and watches his child hurt himself? So put all evil things out of your life because these things make God angry. Have you ever noticed in the Western movies how the bounty hunter travels all alone? It's not hard to see why. Who wants to hang out with a guy who's settling scores and debts for a living? Who wants to risk getting on? Who wants to risk getting on his bad side? You don't want to get on his bad side for sure. More than once, I've heard a person or people spewing his anger about something really, not towards me, but about something else. And I always thought that I hope I don't get on his bad list, get on his list about being mad at me because, you know, it's not good. And cantankerous sorts those bounty hunters were, best leave them alone. Hang out with the angry, and you may get caught by a stream bullet. Debt setting is a lonely occupation. It also is not a healthy occupation. If we are out to settle a score, you will never rest. How can you? For one thing, your enemy may never pay up. As much as you think you deserve an apology, your debtor may never agree. The racist may never repent. The chauvinist may never change. As angry as you are and justified as you are in your quest for vengeance, you may never get a penny's worth of justice. And if you do, will it be enough? Brethren, do not try to punish others when they wrong you. Wait for God to decide the punishment. God is in charge, not you. It's your job to learn to forgive your brethren. In closing, when we allow our anger to control us, we are essentially setting ourselves up for self-destruction. Often the person we are angry at does not even know or care that we are angry at them. We are only hurting ourselves by dwelling on this, or losing our self-control. Please turn now to James 19. James 19, verse 20. James 19, verse 20. James 1, 19, verse 20. Better give the first one. James 1, 19 and 20. Everyone should be, So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath man does not produce the righteousness of God. Slow down before you get angry, brethren. Take time to make sure it's worth the effort. You will find that most of the time, it isn't, or at all. It's difficult to live the life God wants us to live if we are harboring feelings of anger towards anything. Jesus equates anger with murder in Matthew 5, 21 through 22. All our actions are preceded by thoughts. And our humanness, anger left unchecked, will lead to self-destruction. Our righteous anger is acceptable in God's eyes. So, brethren, all of us, or especially me, must do our very best to control our anger and not let Satan enter our lives and let us sin. I pray that I can start doing this much better than I have. And remember, God knows our hearts.